why Jesus created the church, why he has brought the church into existence. The first purpose of the church is to worship, to be a body of believers who worship God. The second purpose of the church is to evangelize, spreading the gospel, inviting people to come to the Lord so they can become worshipers. The third purpose of the church is that we might become disciples ourselves and help make others disciples. And then a fourth purpose is fellowship, two fellows in the same ship. The church exists so that we encourage one another on our journey to serve God and live for God and live the way God wants us to. Today I want to introduce a fifth purpose for the church, which is to do the work of ministry or to serve. I want to use that word, to serve. Now, to show what I'm talking about, I want to share some scriptures with you, parts of scriptures. I'm just going to bring out the highlights. The first one's Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. But again, I'm just emphasizing a couple little parts there. It says, God gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's work for works of ministry. The word ministry, the word that's translated ministry in most versions there, is a version of the word diakonia, service. So God gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of ministry or service, diakonia, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Second verse that I want to share is in 1 Corinthians 12. I want to share verse 5 and verse 27 there in 1 Corinthians 12. There it says there are different kinds of service. And that word is, again, diakonia, a version of diakonia. There are different kinds of service to God. And then verse 27 there says, together you form the body of Christ, and each one of you is a necessary part of it. That's from the Living Bible. Now, there's another verse in 1 Peter 4:10. I want to share two versions of that with you. The first one is the Phillips version. It says, serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you. And that word serve is a form of diakonia. Serve one another with the particular gifts God has given each of you. And in the Living Bible, that verse is translated this way. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other. And one more verse I want to share with you comes from Philippians 2. It's verses 3, 4, and 7. And there the Apostle Paul writes, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who took on the very nature of a servant. And in another place in Luke, Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus was a servant. So then, the title of this message is, Are You Called to Ministry? What does it mean to be called to ministry? Or what does it mean to do the work of ministry, as this verse in Ephesians says? Who is called to ministry? Many people, or probably most people, think that when you talk about the ministry and somebody being called to the ministry, you're talking about professional, quote unquote, pastors or ministers. In other words, the ministry to most people means doing stuff like preaching sermons, holding church services, doing weddings and funerals, that kind of thing. So the ministry means you're going to get paid, you're going to be a preacher, a pastor, and you're going to do those kinds of things. That's the common way of looking at it. But actually, a biblical concept of ministry is much broader than just these sorts of things that I just mentioned. We know that because, first of all, even the word translated ministry, as I pointed out, is diakonia in various forms. And that word diakonia is the word we transliterate into our English word deacon. And we say the church has these deacons. And what do deacons do? In most churches, deacons are people who handle practical service of some kind or other in the church. And so a deacon is a servant of the church, servant of some kind. Romans 16:1 really brings this out, because there Paul mentions a woman named Phoebe. And in some versions it says that she was a deaconess of the church of Cenchrea, which was a port for Corinth, the city of Corinth in Greece. She was a deaconess of the church. But other versions translate it, She was a servant of the Church of Cenchrea. And that's gives you the idea of what I'm talking about here. The work of ministry is a work of service. And a deacon or a servant of the Lord is a person who does a work of service. And so a minister is just a servant. When a guy gets proud and says, hey, I'm a minister, you know, he needs to realize, well, if you're a minister, sir, you're just a servant. It's like you're the janitor, you know, that's you're a servant. Because that's what ministry means, service. It's service of God, but it's service of people in God's name, okay? So the word itself tells us that it has to be more than our idea of just a church minister. But then also, various other things indicate that. When Ephesians 4, there, that verse that I read to you, 11 and 12, says that pastors and teachers and all prepare God's people for works of service or works of ministry, that gives you another clue that ministry must be more than just being a church pastor or something like that, because it says that pastors actually prepare all the other Christians in the church for works of ministry. So a pastor is called to the ministry, sure, but his ministry is really just about preparing other ministers to do their ministries, right? I just, as a pastor or a teacher, I help prepare other people, whoever's listening to my messages and so forth, I help equip you to do your ministry. And so that's more of a correct biblical notion of it. Now, if every Christian has to be involved in doing the ministry and the work of service of, or the work of ministry, well, what kind of services are we supposed to render? What kind of services do we perform? Well, I believe that one of the ways we can find out about this is to look at the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of the early church or the ministry of the church throughout history. How did Jesus serve? How did his first disciples serve? How did they do the work of ministry? How has the church done ministry through history? That's one way of figuring it out. And then another way to learn about what the works of service that we're supposed to do are is by looking at the verses in the Bible, like a couple of them that I read to you today, that speak about the various gifts that are given. Because the gifts that are given to people in the body of Christ, to Christians, the scriptures that speak of those gifts and ministries, those give us a lot of clues as to what our service should be about. Because if you have these gifts, the gifts are to do certain things. So what are those gifts for? So if you take a look at some of these things, you look at the life of Jesus, how did he serve? Because he said he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Well, how did he serve? Well, he went around proclaiming the kingdom of his Father and teaching about his Father's kingdom, teaching his Father's word and his Father's will and purpose, right? He called people out of the world. People were out there living all kinds of ways. They were lost in sin. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he came to bring God's word to them to say, hey, God doesn't want you to live like this. He wants you to live a different way. Come, repent, leave all that, and come back to the way in which God has created you to live. And so he served us by teaching us his Father's ways, teaching us about his Father's kingdom, bringing us in line with that kingdom, because that's how we're supposed to live. And that's what Jesus did. But that's what his early disciples did. That's what the church has always done. We go about calling people back to God, right? So that's what history shows. That's what Jesus did, the early church did. What gifts do we see delineated in the Bible, expounded in the Bible, that line up with that? Well, you see gifts of things like teaching and people called to be teachers. You see a gift of evangelism, people who are called to be evangelists. You see a gift of speaking forth God's word or prophesying. So speaking forth for God. All these are mentioned in the Bible. And so they lead us to understand what some of the services that we're supposed to render in serving God and serving others are. We're to serve God by using these kinds of gifts, right? And every Christian can do some of these things. We're all called to evangelize and to love people and to serve people and to call them to God. And then, of course, there are certain ones of us who have special gifts. They're especially anointed or gifted to do those kinds of things. So people that have the gifts of evangelism or preaching or prophesying and teaching and so forth, they would be irresponsible if they didn't use those gifts, you know, that God has given them for his purposes, right? They would be irresponsible. We gotta do those kind of things. That's how we serve. In what other ways do we serve? In what other ways did Jesus serve? Well, Jesus healed people, didn't he? He was Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jesus went around healing people physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, you're healed by his stripes. We're healed, Isaiah said. We're healed spiritually. You know, we're sick and we're away from God. And we need to be healed by being brought back into relationship with God. So there's a spiritual healing as well as physical. And there's emotional healing. And Jesus went about doing that, you know. He touched people's emotions and he healed them. The early church also did that. They went about praying for the sick and casting out demons and bringing healing. And then in the early centuries, the first ever hospitals were established by Christian monks with the idea of furthering this healing ministry of the Lord Jesus. So healing can happen in supernatural ways through prayer and healing gifts and so on, but it can also happen just by compassion, mercy, showing concern for the sick, visiting the sick, counseling people who are troubled, ministering deliverance to people who are bound, you know, just visiting in the hospital, visiting the sick. So many different, there's different, all these gifts of mercy and service and so forth, and all these different kinds of things manifest and show what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about bringing healing as Jesus did. And then, of course, Jesus and the early church and the church ever since took care of the poor, right? Jesus took care of poor people. He fed the hungry. And in places like Acts 6, we see that his disciples took care of widows and orphans. And that, of course, has been the way in which the church has worked for over 2,000 years of its history, ministering to the poor, ministering to the sick. And then we see the gifts that line up with that sort of thing. Gifts, again, of healing, of mercy, of even gifts of giving, so that you help the poor by giving. Gifts of generosity, and even gifts of service, administration, leadership. The pastor of the Crystal River Church of God showed me how his church has this tremendous food bank ministry, and there's over, I think, 40 people involved, he said. 40 people serve the Lord each week by serving folks and giving them food and so forth. This is the way of the church serving and doing things out in the world. And by the way, I want to point out that there are spiritual gifts and there's also natural talents. Like you could be a school teacher and you have a natural talent to teach, and or maybe you could, it's a talent you can learn, a skill you can learn, but then there's a spiritual gift of teaching. And you can be a gifted public speaker and not even be a Christian, but then there's a spiritual gift of prophesying. And when people exercise that gift, you go, wow, you know, that God is in that. There's a difference there. You can sense God is in it. Also, it's important to notice there's a difference of degree. You know, there are 15-watt light bulbs, there are 1,000-watt light bulbs. And so we have different levels of gifting. And we're all called to give, for example, and we're all called to serve, all of us. But some people have a special gift to give or a special gift to serve. We're all called to have faith in God, but some people have a special gift of faith to do miracles or to do great endeavors for God. So you got to understand this. There's these different degrees, and it really doesn't matter. We don't need to worry about, well, am I a 15-watt bulb or a 100-watt bulb? Don't worry about that. The point is, we're all called to serve, and we all have gifts. We just need to do the best we can to serve others in Christ's name and to try to figure out what gifts we have so that we can kind of focus there and let God help us focus on what he wants us to focus on, right? And so that's sort of a first look at this and what I'm talking about. One thing I want to bring out to you today is that the Church of Jesus Christ has a huge job to do, a huge job. And it's not all done just in church meetings. Church meetings are important, and a lot of stuff takes place there. And even in church meetings, there's just a greater variety of things going on than a lot of people realize. A a lot of works that have to be done, a lot of service that has to be rendered. In a church meeting, for example, your pastor might be sort of an apostle, you know, or he might be a prophet or an evangelist or a pastor or teacher. And so he'll come and he'll minister to you with those kinds of gifts as a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Different kinds of gifts operate in that meeting. And a minister might exhort you, or he might teach you, or he might prophesy, you know, speak forth a word from God, bring guidance from God. Or he might give direction, or he might bring comfort to the people. These are all different kinds of gifts that manifest in a church service. But also in a church, you need people that are inspired to sing and to have musical gifts and that lead people and lift people up in their visions to see God and to worship God and to look toward God, right? And there's so many other people that we need. We need ushers. We need greeters. We need technicians. Today I had all kind of sound problems at my church. It was terrible. We need technicians. We need sound men. We need people to do these kind of things. We need prayer warriors who are behind the scenes praying for God's work to go on in the church. If you have kids in your church, you need children's workers and teachers and so forth. And behind the scenes, there are people who take up the offering. There's ushers. There's people counting the offering. There's people who are paying the bills and doing the bulletins and so on and so forth. And so really, even in the visible, obvious public functions of the church, like church services, there's a whole lot more to do than a lot of people realize. And there's a whole lot more kinds of service that needs to be rendered. And there's more of a place for people to work than they might realize. By the way, the main thing you want to do, you don't always get to serve in your area of gifting, but what we strive for, is to get into that area that we're gifted for and work there. Because if you work there, there's going to be joy there and grace there, and you're going to enjoy it and you're going to be more effective. But the point I'm making here is that there's a lot to do in the church. Churches need to have small groups. We only have a couple of them in my church now. But in a small group, there's all kinds of different works to do. Like, for example, in a small group, you need a leader, facilitator, to kind of run the meeting. Learn how to do that and facilitate it. You need a host couple who lets you meet in their home. You need somebody to prepare snacks or refreshments, right? Or set up the chairs or take care of the kids or maybe give rides to somebody. And then you need, again, prayer warriors and people who will pray for folks right there in the meeting. And then if you look at places like 1 Corinthians 14:26, it really indicates that in small groups, a lot more gifts and stuff are supposed to be manifesting and expressing themselves and being used. A lot more people are supposed to be serving in a lot more ways than a lot of us may realize. Because it says when you come together, one has a psalm, one has a revelation, one has a prophecy, one has a prayer. You're supposed to all be contributing. There's a lot that's supposed to be going on. There's a lot of works of service. There's a lot of work to do in the church. And so, but beyond that, guys, I got to emphasize this. This is a real important part of this message. Because the works of ministry or the works of service are not all, even by any means, to be done just in church meetings. Yes, the church meetings of all kinds, big and small, are important. But I hope you'll see today that it's really much more than that. I was once hired to work at a boat company, Regal Boat in Orlando, Florida. And the owners of the company are Christians. They love the Lord. And so what an amazing time that was when I worked there with them. These guys are millionaires. But they use their money and their business and all to serve the Lord. They actually had a missions organization they started. And I worked in that missions organization. They gave me an office right there in their big company. And they gave me a golf cart. And twice a week I did Bible studies for employees. They had like 800 employees. I did a Spanish Bible study one day. I did an English one another day. These guys had a mission organization, and I worked for them, like coordinating teams to go to different countries in the world and serve God there. I mean, I went with some of the teams. We put a roof on a Bible college in Yucatan, Mexico one time. We served people in houses and building houses and going to orphanages and doing evangelism. They also served God by having big meetings there, and they would have celebrities come in and speak to their employees and so forth. They had, you know, think about it, a mission organization and Bible studies and stuff. And they had a disabled child, and so they had a ministry to disabled children. You think that's not the church? What I'm trying to say to you, look at these people were business people. their gifts were primarily in the area of making money and in running a business and so forth, administration, leadership. But God used them mightily. And I'm telling you, that is the church. It's not just in church meetings. It's when the church is out there serving God and serving people in His name. That's the work of ministry. And let me tell you, I'll guarantee you there's a lot of business folks that would look to folks like them and listen and pay more attention to them than they ever would to me as a preacher, because they're business people. They're solid, and they're hiring people, giving work to people, and they're doing impressive things. They're a great testimony for Christ. The church is big, folks. I've mentioned to you that in the past that my wife and I served with Youth with a Mission for 5.5 years. And it's the largest missionary organization in the world. You know, we did all kind of things at YWAM. But I want to tell you what I think the genius of YWAM was, why it became so large and everything, is because they tapped into something very important. They tapped into the fact that we're called to serve God, that every Christian's called to serve God. And it's got to get bigger than just in churchy things. Because if the only way you can serve God is by being, you know, a pastor or something, man, that restricts. And you don't, there's not that many people that can do that. But the genius of YWAM was to show multitudes of people how they also had a part to play. I mean, these folks, they had carpenters and builders, engineers, technicians, mechanics, secretaries, artists and musicians, even, you know what, they had ships, a tremendous ship ministry. So the captain of the ship all the way down to the deckhand, they were all Christians. They served God by running Christian ships. And on those ships, they'd have doctors and dentists, they'd have evangelists, they'd have teachers. And they did stuff all over the world. One time in Yucatan, they brought a fire truck to a village because the people there couldn't afford a fire engine. They brought them a fire engine. They did cleft palate surgeries and fixed eyes that looked off to the side, and just did stuff for people in Africa and just served people in so many ways. And so it really expanded. It was a tremendous movement and ministry. And I really think that the important thing, that the genius of it, was to show people, man, the church is big. There's a lot that needs to be done. And there's something for every Christian to do. I could list lots of other examples. I don't have time. But I mean, think about things like Young Life or Youth for Christ. These are ministries that focus on youth. And they're huge, and they just work, and they change lives all over the world. Think about stuff like Gideon's. You know, I actually, part of my, what brought me to Christ was a Gideon Bible that I found when I was in the psych ward for drug rehab. They sent me to the psych ward in Tripler Army Hospital in Hawaii. I read a Gideon Bible. The Gideons are business people. But man, they serve God, getting out in the community, getting these Bibles out to everybody and stuff. What a difference they make. Years ago, I read a book I want to recommend to you. It was written by a man named Patrick Johnstone, and it's titled, The Church is Bigger Than You Think. And let me tell you, it is. I hope you'll read that book, The Church is Bigger Than You Think, because the church is all over the world. And there are so many needs in the world, and there are so many ways to serve God and do the works of ministry. We need to have our horizons expanded to understand the variety of need and the variety of service, and to understand some of the richness of the gifts that God has dispersed out there in His church. So my point today is twofold. I'm trying to hit two main points today. Number one, works of ministry are not just things done in church services. Works of ministry are service to God and man in myriad ways all over the place. And number two, ministry is not to be done just by a few professionals who are pastors or evangelists, but rather ministry is something that every believer is supposed to be engaged with, because every believer has been given gifts, and they're unique, and they're special, and there's something you're to use to contribute to the works of service. I don't know, but maybe for you, this that I'm talking about could be sort of shocking. But I really believe we need to go through what you call a paradigm shift in terms of how we think about this word ministry and the purpose of the church being to serve God and to do the work of ministry. It's a paradigm shift, but we need it. We got to understand, it's not just pastors and evangelists who are in, quote-unquote, the ministry, but it's every Christian who's called to be in the ministry, because every Christian has gifts, and they're to use them for God. So I was telling the folks today at church, I said, yes, as a pastor, I am called to the ministry. Yes, I'm called to the ministry. But you know what my ministry is? My ministry is equipping the saints for their ministry. That's all. It's just one minister helping to equip other ministers. I want you to see that you are also a minister. And there's a lot of ministry that needs to be done. Right? And so I hope that every one of us will seek to discover what gifts God has given us. Look, as I told the folks today, you've got to do things that you're not that gifted for a lot in life. And so the main thing is to have that attitude of a servant that Jesus had. If they ask you to work with the kids and you're not gifted for that, you do it, right? We all have to serve in things we're not gifted at sometimes. But what God wants us to understand is our main focus should be in the areas in which He has specifically gifted us. So I recommend to you books like this one to learn what your gifts are and to understand by that how God wants to use you. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Now, as I wrap up, you know, in our church in Texas, we used to use Rick Warren's sort of discipleship track. It had like first home plate and first base and second base and third base and home plate and all like that. And it was four-hour seminars to kind of equip people. And the third one was called a commitment to ministry. And it was about the kinds of things that I'm talking to you today about. But as that four-hour seminar would conclude, there would be a document that we'd ask people to sign. And it was called the Commitment to Ministry. And the Ministry Covenant is what it was called. And the Ministry Covenant is, quote, a commitment to discover my God-given gifts and abilities and use them to serve God and others. It's a commitment to discover my God-given gifts and abilities and use them to serve God and others. Let me ask you something as I close. If I were to present a document like that to you today and ask you to commit yourself to serve God by using your God-given gifts and abilities to serve Him and to serve others, will you sign a document like that? Would you commit yourself to that? I hope you will, because I'm telling you, it's exciting. It's an adventure to be used by God and to become part of this worldwide global movement that is the church, that is called by God to worship Him and serve Him. So I pray that you'll take that commitment seriously and make it today. Ask God to show you what your gifts are. Ask God to show you in what ways He wants you to serve Him.